I want you to take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to preach for a little while first before we pray tonight. I have been teaching on rightly dividing Scripture and on rightly dividing the Word of Truth and dispensational truth. But we're going to take a break from that tonight. I feel very impressed to preach on this tonight. So that's what I'm going to do this evening out of Acts chapter 12. And there's a song entitled, "I Need the Prayers of Those I Love." And I want to preach having that thought for just a little bit tonight. I'm not going to try to be very long. I just got a few thoughts here. But out of Acts chapter 12, look in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers." What a wonderful thought. If y'all have ever heard me preach on this before, the next day he's going to be killed and Peter is asleep in prison. How many of us could lay down and go to sleep if you knew that was your last night? I hope that I could. I hope that anxiety wouldn't, but here he is, and he is asleep, and it says, "Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." Peter done made himself comfortable, hadn't he? He done took his outer coat off, took his shoes off, and he was just going to rest for the night and meet his maker tomorrow. Amen. Meet the one who was going to kill him. But it said right here in verse 9, "And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." I always wondered about that. They were over there praying, prayed all night for Peter to get loose. And he got loose, and when he came there, they were amazed. Amen. Let me ask you something. Have you ever prayed for something and was amazed that God answered your prayer? I'll be honest with you, I've been there. I know all about that. I understand that. It's not that they didn't have faith. I kind of wondered if they just didn't think God would move that fast. Amen. God can move quickly when he wants to. "But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." Let's ask the Lord to help. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us now. We just, Lord, want to preach what you gave us. And Lord, we want to be very plain in our speech tonight. And Lord, just want to follow the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd help folks sitting here tonight. I pray if there's somebody here just struggling, needs some direction, needs some encouragement, I ask tonight that they'd find it in you. Save that one that's lost. For all this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. In this passage, Peter, for lack of better words, is miraculously delivered from prison. And I honestly believe that he was delivered for one reason, at least for one reason, but it was because in verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. So they ceased not to pray, and when you come over and you look later on, it said in verse 12 that when he got to John Mark's mama's house, it said where many were gathered together praying. So the church is together and they're praying in one accord, and they're praying for the release of Peter. Now let me say that you and I need to have a prayer life. We find that in Matthew chapter 6 when he talks about entering into the prayer closet and shutting the door. 1 Thessalonians 5 says to pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6, Paul said praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians 4, he said be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And then he went on to say right here, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm glad tonight when we pray, I'm glad that God can give us some peace in our heart. Amen. Listen, your prayer may not be answered right then. It may not be taken care of right then. But I'm glad God, when we go to Him, we can find the help that we need. Amen. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, y'all know the story. You find the lady named Hannah, and boy, she was of a sorrowful spirit. She was in bitterness of soul. I mean, she was broke. I mean, she was just tore up on the inside. And she finally just went over to the tabernacle and began to pray. And boy, when she began to pray, you know, Eli thought she was drunken and told her to put wine away from her. But she said, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And she finally got all her praying done. And when she left the tabernacle, the Bible said that her countenance was no more sad. She didn't have a baby. She didn't have a child. But what she had done was talk to God about the situation and let Him handle it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, these times, you're just going to have to talk to God and let Him handle the situation. That's what it's going to take. But that ain't what I want to focus on tonight. I want to focus on tonight, if I could. And there's plenty of reasons to pray. I mean, to intercede for folk. There's needs. We understand that. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. But I want to preach having this thought of what the church done right here. They got together and they prayed for Peter. And I want to preach on, there's just sometimes you need somebody else praying with you. Sometimes you need God's people involved in your situation. You don't have to tell your situation all the time. That's what I like about what's called an unspoken request. You know, God knows all about them unspoken requests, don't He, Jeremiah? He knows all about them. And I know some of your all's unspoken requests over the years because you've told me, and you've told me how God is moved. But I'm glad that God, He hears His people tonight. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, brethren, pray for us. He was requesting prayer for himself. You go over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us. He said that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The Apostle Paul, he was requesting prayer for himself. I run into people that don't even like to request prayer for their self. I have no shame in it. Some people say, when you ain't got nothing else to pray for me. No, get your pencil out and put me on top of your prayer list. That's where I want to be at. If you don't pray for nobody else, you pray for the preacher. Amen. And so you find right here the request gets made. You know, Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. I mean, it didn't bother him to request prayer. It didn't bother him, and he always wanted an open door. He said that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And he just said, I just need God to move. How many times have me and you needed God to move? How many times? I'm not saying God don't hear your prayer. I'm not saying God won't answer your prayer. I'm not saying God just don't hear yours alone. But I'm telling you, there's something about when God's people come together and begin to pray. You go over, is it in Mark chapter 5? I believe it is. I'm getting ahead of myself. But you'll find in Mark 2, you'll find four men taking one man to Jesus. And they had to tear the roof off the house to get him down to Jesus, to get him healed. And the Bible said, when he saw their faith, he saw the faith of those four men. That's why he moved. I do want people praying. When I've got something, listen, church, that really needs to be prayed for, I think I can, and I know I can, get in touch with heaven. But there's just sometimes I need some help praying. Hey, some people know how to get in better touch with God than I do. And I want them to be praying. They'll be praying while I'm asleep, and I'll be praying while they're asleep. Amen. Keep that thing going up to heaven. I'm telling you, some things happen in life that you just need folk praying about. Hey, sometimes when sickness comes or a trial comes or something that is out of your control and out of your hand, you need somebody praying. Boy, I'm glad that somebody prayed for me. I mean, I'm an honest believer tonight. That if you're saved in here, it's because somebody prayed for you. Some mama, some daddy, some grandparent, some preacher, some Sunday school teacher, some church member, they prayed that you'd get saved. Somebody cared for your soul and interceded for you. I love it. The Apostle Paul went on in Romans chapter 15. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I mean, he asked the church at Thessalonica. He asked the church at Colossae. He asked the church at Rome. I need you praying for me. You know, that's why we have prayer letters and missionaries have prayer cards. It's so that we won't forget to pray for them. If you come in our house, we don't have a lot of pictures hanging on the wall or a lot of things going on. But if you walk into our kitchen and you look at our refrigerator, that's where all the pictures are. I mean, these pictures from top to bottom on that refrigerator. I was going to say there's a chore list on there, but me and her, neither one do it. Amen. I don't even know why it's there. I guess it's just to remind us that we failed at it. Amen. But you know, I'll sit over there at the counter at our island, and I'll turn around in my seat, and I'll look at those pictures, and I'll start to pray for those that's on there. It's just a reminder to pray. Just a reminder. Listen, the request, I don't know what you need. And like I say, you don't have to tell everything. There is one thing that I'm certainly proud of this church. We don't turn prayer request time into a gossip session. I'm glad we don't do that. I'm glad that I generally don't have to rein that thing in. I generally don't. There's a lot of preachers. They got to rein in prayer request time because people's just gossiping about what's going on. We don't do that here. We try to take it serious. And listen, I think it's ever so important, listen, that me and you as the church, we take time to pray for the request. I think we need to listen to the request. Because here's what now this is just me, and you take it for what it's worth. I think if somebody's going to take enough time and enough thought how to request prayer, I ought to have enough about me to pray for it. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, folk have asked us to pray. They obviously think that we can. They've got a little bit of faith in us, or they wouldn't be asking us to pray. You know, the Bible said in Galatians 6, bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can I be honest with you tonight? If we're really going to pray, it takes a little time. It takes a little time to pray. I remember years ago, I went to a prayer. Now, it's back when I was a teenager, just a young preacher. I probably wasn't 17, 18 years old. And I probably wasn't even that old, if truth is to be known. And my pastor, they were having some kind of prayer conference, and I went with him and had the preacher preaching in the conference there, in the meeting. It was just a prayer meeting, I guess you'd say. But it was on prayer. And my pastor was spearheading this thing, and he got somebody to preach. And when it was all said and done, they got us on a time limit in there on our prayer time and on the preaching time. And I remember talking, and that preacher preached forever. I mean, y'all think I preach a long time. Y'all can say amen right there if you want to. I know that I can get long-winded when I want to, amen. And sometimes I get long-winded when I need to. But I remember my pastor telling me this. He said my intentions was for him to preach short and us to pray long. I mean, it was on prayer. Now, that made sense. You know, sometimes we'll get... Now, I love preaching because I'm a preacher, and I think it takes preaching to folk get saved because of it. I think you learn because of it. But I think... I don't know how you are. Let me say that. I think sometimes in my life, I don't focus enough on prayer, and especially on the prayer of others. I can get very selfish in my own prayer life. James chapter 5, he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said, pray one for another. Pray one for another. I think it's very important for us to listen and to learn about people. Because I'm going to be honest with you, church, some people need God to move in their life. Some people, and you've probably been there before, where you needed God to do something for you. And it's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better when you know that somebody else is helping you tote that load than you just having to tote it all by yourself. Preacher, do you really believe praying works? I don't only believe it, I know it works. I mean, I not only believe it works, I know it works. I don't have to think about and wonder about, does it work? No, it works. I mean, I know, I put it to the test. I know praying works. And even as a church, we should come together. You know, we come here on Wednesday nights to pray. And I don't want us to lose sight of that. Now, I come in here to teach and preach and all those things, but I don't want us to lose sight of prayer time. I love choir singing. I do. I love the choir singing. I love singing. I love it. But I don't want us to lose sight of the prayer time. You know, Jesus told them over there, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not preaching, not singing, not teaching, but he said a house of prayer. That ought to tell us something about how Jesus focused on prayer. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Most of y'all, Lord, know this. I love to preach out of it. I've probably preached out of it a handful of time over the years. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The church comes together. In the book of Acts chapter 12, they come together and that to pray for Peter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. First time in your Bible that I believe that you'll find where a king proclaimed a fast through the whole country. What's going on right here? Jehoshaphat's got three companies of people coming against him. So he declares a fast. In verse 4, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." Not only do they have the same request on their mind, but they've come together to pray. They've got together to pray just like we do on Wednesday nights. Just like we have a handful of times over the years here that we've called a special prayer meeting just to come and pray. Well, I can pray just as well at home as I can at church. I don't know about that. The church was gathered in John Mark Mama's house, Mary. They were praying together. Could they have not just prayed as well apart? The Judah right here could have prayed apart, but yet they come together. And they come together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I believe right here when we come together to pray, especially in a special time, it shows God that we're willing to put everything else aside that we want to do and come and pray. I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. For some of you, it takes an effort to get here. Especially on Wednesday night, and any other night through the week, it's an effort to get here. I mean, you come in here sideways, two wheels, wheelies. I mean, running as fast as you can to get here. And if I could ever make you understand how much I appreciate that. I mean, because you could have stayed home. You're tired, and rightfully so. You've worked. You're tired. Some of you just watch kids all day. You're tired. You give out. But yet you took time to come to church on Wednesday night. And if we do anything else special, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. But you're showing God that what you're going to do means something to you. It's important to you. And I think God sees that. It's like fasting. It's like giving up your necessary food and that to have your prayer answered. Well, we don't do that a lot. I mean, maybe you do. I don't do that a lot. Let me say it that way. So they gathered together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou our God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and I built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, and pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help." You think God had to be reminded of that? No. But boy, I tell you, it done them people standing out there listening to Jehoshaphat, done them some good. He done a little preaching while he was praying to the Lord. And he reminded them people about God's promises. He reminded them people about God's power. He reminded them that no matter what, God said, if you'll just get toward here. He said, if you'll get here and pray, I'll hear you. And he said, if you're away in a foreign land, if you'll just turn and pray toward this place, I'll hear you. You know what we do now? We just look up to heaven. Verse 10. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You know what? You know what they told the Lord, and I'd say you've had to pray like this, and I have too. Lord, we need some help. I don't know what kind of help we need. I don't know where the help's going to come from, but we're just looking to you. We just need you to move. I've prayed that. I don't know how many times. I'm praying that right now for some of y'all, for some situations in your life. I'm praying that God will just move. That's it. I don't know what you need. I don't know how God can work it out. I don't know any of those things. But I'm just wanting His will to be done and for Him to move. You go on down through here and you can read the rest of it. And I'm not going to for time's sake. But you'll find out that God moved. He moved. And you know what happened? When they began to praise, and you read on down through here that that they prayed, God sent word, and they worshiped God. And when they got done worshiping, they began to praise God. And in verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed, this is the next day, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. I'll show you something. What's verse 22? And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. God didn't move till they began to sing and they began to praise. He hadn't moved yet. He hadn't done anything yet. But here they are singing. Here they are praising. They were holding on that God said, I'm going to. God said, you ain't going to have to fight. Just stand, set you still. Stand still, set yourself. Right. Said tomorrow, go down there and look. You know what we need to do? You need to pray. You need to trust the Lord. And then you need to praise Him. Right? And then we'll wait on God to move. I think that's what you need to do. I think as a church and as God's people, as believers, we need to take each other's requests serious. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying we need to. I mean, we need to take them serious tonight. Some people need some help. I mean, they really need some help at times. And so I think we need to do that tonight.